Why, hello. It's wonderful to see you all. Maybe not all. Most. I'm kidding. I kid. So, I have to tell you something because it's kind of funny. I was over helping Dan with his computer this week, and we were sitting around, and he had been preparing a message that he has in several weeks because he is astute and studious and well-prepared. And he was like, when do you speak next? And I was like, I don't know. So then he looks at the schedule, and he had an older schedule, which didn't have me on it or anything. So I was like, eh. So I pull up my phone, which has the latest, and I'm like, oh, I speak this Saturday. So if this is not good, it's Dan's fault. I'm just kidding. So I had actually been thinking about a message that I wanted to give, and I thought about it for some time. And years ago, I read a great book, and I read it every now and again. You all know I like to read a lot of different books. But I actually read this, and I read it not multiple times a year, but usually once every few years. The book is called As a Man Thinketh, and it's by James Allen. It was written years and years ago. It really always takes me back when I read some of these older books that have been around since the early 1900s, and you realize that Solomon was right when he said there's nothing new under the sun. We think we're so smart and we're so advanced and we come up with all these new things, and you go back years and years and years, and people have been saying the same things over and over, just in a different way. So I thought it was interesting. Mr. Allen in this book holds a view that thoughts shape us in more powerful ways than we expect. He had three really kind of simple points that I took away from it. One is our thoughts are seeds that create our world. Two is our circumstances are shaped by our character, which is developed by those thoughts. And three, our desires are created by our character that direct the world. They directly create the world around us. Basically, it's you have thoughts and they are seeds that grow in your mind, good or bad, which lead to a character, which lead to the world that you create around you, the people that you attract, the situations, the circumstances, and all of that. It's a pretty simple concept, really. And what I thought was very interesting is the Bible speaks of this very clearly. There's many things about it. Today, I want to focus on thoughts. They, to me, are the most important component we have in the old noggin. It is the thoughts. It isn't our ability to do one thing or another or accomplish this, that, or the other. It's the thoughts that we have that develop the path we will be on. There is power in thoughts in shaping our realities. Often, I guess maybe not often, but a lot of the time, I think that I and others think we are victims of circumstances, while in truth, our thoughts, actions, and habits create the circumstances that we live in, whether we like them or dislike them. We're not just, like Forrest Gump said, floating along on a breeze and a few things happen to us here and there. We have these thoughts which create a reality, and it can either be godly or it can be Satan that's influencing us. Your mindset is nothing more than a completion of your thoughts. These thoughts have incredible power to shape your life and my life and the lives of others, because your thoughts and interpretations of circumstances directly influence your beliefs and ultimately your actions. They ultimately reflect and will enact actions that you will become a certain type of person. I will become a certain type of person. And I can either choose that I become what God wants me to become, or I can have thoughts that pull me away. It's interesting to me, too, another book that I've been going through lately. It's called Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. And I find it interesting that in it, it mentions that we can worry ourselves sick. How many of you have ever done that? Anybody who, come on, there's more people than that who have worried yourself. Kids in school, you haven't worried about, oh, I've got this test and I'm not really wanting to prepare for it. Maybe you do prepare, like not like me. I always used to worry myself sick in school because I didn't want to study. And then I'd go and be like, hey, you got to study to take tests. What? I do this all the time. I procrastinate and I put things off and then I'm like, oh no, I work better under pressure. It's not really the case. You can prepare and be successful, or you can not prepare and lose your hair like me. But it is a known fact, you can worry and make yourself sick. That is a proven scientific fact. What I love about this book called Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself is if that is true and your thoughts manifest into things that physically affect you, why can't you have thoughts that manifest into things that enhance your life, that make your life better? And what if those thoughts, and that's why I'm giving this message today, are thoughts that are on godly things, on His kingdom, on His law, on His book, on His way of life, on all the things that we learn in the Bible? What if our thoughts and the seeds that we are planting in our mind and the seeds that we are spreading across everyone that we come in contact with are things that lead people to God? Specifically says in the Bible, I can raise up stones. We know God doesn't need our help, but He certainly appreciates it, and He certainly wants us to grow as individuals to be what He needs us to be. So the counter then is, it stands to reason that we can actually think about things to better our lives. Matthew 6, verse 34 would be the first scripture we would look at. And if this doesn't kind of sum up exactly what I've just been saying, it says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day in its own trouble. And I just think that's interesting because I worry a lot. I try not to, but I do. And it directly affects my days. It affects my health and everything. And in fact, because I did not really finish this message until last evening, let's be fully transparent here, I was nervous about how it was going to turn out and how things were going to go. My stomach got kind of churning. And so 1 o'clock in the morning, I wake up, I'm not feeling too great. We all know where that goes. And I blamed it on Victoria's dinner. She was like, the meat was fine. You're just nervous. I'm like, oh, always justifying. But it's just interesting to me that sufficient is the day and the worries thereof. And the worries that we create in our lives are thoughts. And we worry about things and we think about things that may never happen. I've read statistics that say 93% of what we worry about never even comes to pass. Henry Ford said, whether you think you can or cannot, you're right. Whether you think you can or cannot, you're right. The message that Shaney gave was absolutely awesome. I've thought about, as a runner, expanding and having a sermon about running the race. Because running, just like a lot of sports, sometimes it just requires grit. You just push through. And sometimes you push through to your own detriment. I ran one time and I was like, I had taken off. I had hip bursitis. I mean, I've had everything. I used to run 30, 40 miles a week. I've had hip bursitis. I've had Osgood Slaughters. I've had runner's knee. I've had you name it. I've had it. Fractures. Anyways, I had been off resting the old hip and I went back to running and I'm like, it's fine. I'm going to go out and do a 7 mile run. And I did. And my foot was hurting, but I was like, yeah, whatever. What did I do? I then had to take 2 months off because I had a stress fracture, because I just pushed through and I actually broke my fifth metatarsal. Just a small hairline fracture, but it's not good. But the reason I talk about that is it's interesting to me that what grit ties into thoughts and what you push yourself through and what you focus on. So in other words, what we think about is what we get. You will draw into your life that which you constantly think about, whether good or bad. And as we go through this message today, I want to make it really, really clear. Because I gave a message a while back, and some people talked about, I think it's Norman Vincent Peale, The Power of Positive Thinking. And I think that Worldwide had some issues with that years ago because, you know, you can't just think your way into positivity and blah, blah, blah. I don't even remember exactly. But I want to make it clear. I am not saying that hey, take a Pollyanna view to life and just be positive and everything's going to work out and you can manifest things into your lives and all this, that, and the other. No, what I'm saying is that thoughts are powerful. Thoughts will dictate what happens in your life. If you think that is not correct, we are going to have to agree to disagree. Because I know personally, this is how it is for me. When I think on things that are positive, positive things happen in my life, and my life is better. It doesn't mean it's without trial, but it means that when I think on things that are godly, I get closer to God, and I feel better about the way that I'm living my life. I mean, I think about it, and I was going to tell you guys this, and I was thinking as I was putting this together, you know, I have tried to live more positively over the last 5 to 10 years, really since I moved here, around you lovely Texans. But I've thought, it's not that my life has gotten any easier. I mean, my dad is still gone. My mom is dead. My wife's mother and father are gone. I've lost cousins. I've lost friends. I mean, life is life. But it is what I decide to focus on and where those thoughts are going to go. Are they going to take me down a dark spiral that is what Satan wants? Or are they going to take me to a godly way of life? If you think for 1 minute your thoughts aren't powerful and don't impact your world, I will tell you that I believe you are sadly mistaken. But I am also saying that I'm not talking about this. Years ago, they talked about this new thought and, you know, positive thinking produces positive results. I do think when you have godly thoughts, you will see positive results in your life. But I'm talking about Proverbs 23 and verse 7. Let's turn there. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Well, we all know my heart is not thinking. It is my brain. But what is talked about here as what is in my heart, it means what do I truly desire? What are the things that I really want out of life? The fact is, what you focus on thought-wise is what you will attract into your life. It's 100%. It doesn't mean when you think positive things, happy things are just going to happen every day. I put a note here that I say, I know this because I've lived this way for 50 years. And I can tell you that when I lived in Kansas, and I've told you this before, and to me, I don't come up here to tell you all what a great person I am or to tell you this, that, or the other so that I can help people. Like I find something in the Bible that I think is helpful to us all to grow. And I'm up here doing, you know, living life to the fullest and I don't have any problems. I'm up here because I'm struggling along just like all of us are. And I'm up here because it is helpful to me in my mind for people because I know it is in my mind helpful for me to know that other people are struggling with things too. Health and anger and patience and kindness and whatever the case may be. Life is hard and it will beat you down. I want to know that other people are struggling too. Because if not, I'm like, what am I doing wrong? Why is all of this on me then? And so when I read these things and I think about this, it takes me back years to where my wife, who was a loving, patient, kind person, I'm telling you, when my thoughts were focused on the wrong things of, I want to go out, I want to do what I want to do, I want to go drinking with the guys, I want to go do this, that, or the other, I would do it. And I would justify it because of the thoughts that I had, and I would come up with some reason. She's nagging, or there's this, or there's that, or I'm stressed at work, or I just need to get away, and I need to do things. And I would struggle with that. And then I would feel even worse because I grew up in this church and I knew the way of life I was leading wasn't what God wanted me to lead. I just thought of something. The translator likes it when we speak slower, so I've got to slow down. Serenity now. I get really going. I get passionate about this stuff. But I was thinking about it because I was like, I was losing my way And I was thinking on all the things that I wanted to attract into my life. And I did attract those things. And I did live a life that I don't find to be the way God wants me to live. And then we move here and I begin to really focus. And I've told you this before, I had a longer drive. I start listening to the Bible. I start listening to other books. I start reflecting. I start thinking about what does God really want. I'm driving to work and Jeremiah 2 comes through and it says, what did I ever do to you that you would turn your back on me? And I start like I just broke down in tears. And I just thought, what am I doing? What kind of life am I leading? What are the thoughts that I'm having and why am I thinking this way? And I began to shift. Fast forward, I look back now and I'm like, it's weird. I don't miss going out. I love hanging out with my wife. I love being around the kids, most of them. Maybe not Thomas all the time. I'm kidding. He's not in here. At least I don't see him. But let's face it. Let's be honest with ourselves. We think about things that we shouldn't. And when the stuff we shouldn't think about is all we think about, we find ways to justify what we're doing in our lives. Like I said, when I wanted to go out, I would find ways to justify going out. When I wanted to be a person that I shouldn't necessarily be, and I had those thoughts all the time, it was a real struggle for me. Because we all have these negative thoughts, but they are landmines along the pathway to being our best. They are thoughts that Satan wants you to have. Conversely, if you are consistently and intentionally nurturing godly thoughts, notice I didn't say positive thoughts. You can look at it that way because anything that's positive should be in direct correlation with God. But if we are intentionally nurturing godly thoughts, you paint a picture of a godly future on the walls of your mind. Let me say that again because I think that's really impactful. When you consistently and intentionally nurture godly thoughts, you paint a picture of a godly future on the walls of your mind. Some of you might ask, well, how can I think godly thoughts when there's so much negative in the world? It's a good question, but bad things happen. And they always do and they always will. We know that Satan is like a roaring lion. Sometimes bad things just show up. You can write down Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 11. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 11. Time and chance happen to all. It is still, no matter what, your interpretation that makes the situation negative. And I don't say that lightly, because I know many of us are going through some very tough trials. And I know I've gone through tough trials. And I know I've faced things that I didn't know how I was going to get through. Somehow I did. Somehow I do. A situation doesn't drag you down or lift you up. It's the way you think about it that does. A situation doesn't drag you down or lift you up. It's the way you think about it that does. And the reason is, Satan drags you down. Our Heavenly Father lifts us up. The great news is we are in control of what we think about and what we focus on. No one else has the power unless you give it to them. It's the same thing. Conversely, God, you give him the power to give you the mindset that he needs you to have. The Holy Spirit, you ask for that. You grow, you pray, you meditate, all of those things. Or you allow Satan to manifest thoughts in your mind that lead you far away. You are the conductor of your own thoughts. Your mind is like a garden that must be tended to. The solution is to cultivate better thoughts, just like we would treat a garden that has weeds in it. Negative thoughts are like weeds that grow out of control. Godly thoughts are like seeds that you want to plant and fertilize and watch them take over. It doesn't mean that you stop weeding. It doesn't mean that the weeds go away. I just spent a ridiculous amount of money having some people come in and clear out all of these weeds and grass and all this junk in the backyard. And they laid down this special stuff and they're like, nothing gets through this except for those weeds that are getting through it. Because weeds are like horrible thoughts. They never go away. They're always going to be there. It's just, are you going to prune them or are you going to allow them to grow? So how do you do this? How do we do this? How do we have godly thoughts? How do we focus on the right things? I've put some points together. I've got 33. No, I'm just kidding. I have three, and I just want to talk through them today. The first one is we have to ask God to direct and guide our mind. We have to ask God to direct and guide our mind. Turn with me to Romans 12. Romans 12 and verse 2. Romans 12 and verse 2, it says, don't become like the people of this world. Instead, change the way you think. Then you will always be able to determine what God really wants. What is good, pleasing, and perfect. The world, Satan, if you will, so the world and Satan, are seeking to mold us to its will. I just texted my brother the other day, and I was like, man, what is going on? Every time I turn on the news, I used to, when I was a kid, remember, we actually heard about world events, and like there were things going on in other countries, and we were united, and we've never been a perfect country. I understand that, but now it's this subject and that subject, and this guy thinks this, and this lady thinks that, and we don't even know what men and women are anymore, and just all these different things. If we don't think that that is Satan trying to put all these weeds in our mind to confuse us, to divide us, to separate us, to cause us to stumble, that's who it is, and that's what it is. The world is seeking to mold us to its will, and we need to be renewing our minds through God. Because that is the only way we will be able to withstand Satan's influence. Please God, and you will be pleased with the will of God. Now, I'm not saying, again, I can't stress it enough. I'm not saying that we won't have trials. We will. Those are the mechanisms that God uses to help us build character and to grow. On top of that, I've mentioned it before, sometimes we go through things that we don't understand. And the reason that we do, in my mind, is because God needs us in the world tomorrow to be able to help people that have gone through the same thing. To put our arm around them and say, I understand. But please God, and you will be pleased with the will of God. Allow Him to direct your mind and your steps. Allow Him to direct your mind and your steps. Psalm 37. Psalm 37 and verse 23. It says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of all their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. I like that. Though they stumble, meaning though they have, that's why it ties in nicely with Shaney's message. I've told people all the time at work, hey, that's a great success. Nobody learns from success. People learn from failure. People learn from stumbling. People learn from struggling. It doesn't mean you have to do things wrong purposefully. Wisdom is learning from other people's mistakes. Ignorance is knowing what to do and just not doing it. I'm not saying be ignorant. I'm saying, though, understand that when you fail and you fail and you fail and you fail, you're failing forward as long as you don't quit. You're not a failure until you stop. We're not a failure when we sin and when we struggle and when we do things wrong until we quit, until we say, I'm not coming back, I give up. The thoughts have taken over. Satan has gotten his toehold in. I think that I'm doing things for whatever reason, but when I take a step back and I pray and I study and I fast and I actually ask God to guide my mindset, then I see things in a new light and I realize maybe I need to change. Maybe I need to go to that brother or sister and say, I'm sorry, I love you. You were right, I was wrong. What consumes your mind controls your life. What consumes your mind controls your life. When we pray, we need to ask God to protect our minds. And we must recognize that we have a choice. Will we train our brain to concentrate on the things of God? Or will we let it be consumed by the things of this world? You young people, I mean, I didn't face the struggles that you face today. But to say that there wasn't drugs and alcohol and sex and whatever else going on when I was a kid in high school and things like that. Yeah, there was. It's whatever you choose to focus on. It's whatever you choose to allow into your lives. I mean, we can all say, oh, this is so much, you know, worse than it was. Yeah, social media is pretty crazy. And it's a pretty easy way for us to see a lot of things that we never used to see. But Satan's been Satan for years and years. And when I grew up, there were still kids that were doing bad things. And I was doing bad things. The fact is, it's a choice that we make about the thoughts that we have and the life that we're going to lead. And whether or not this is serious enough for us to take seriously, or whether it's just kind of a thing we're doing. I go to church on Saturday and I do my thing. To focus my mind on God requires work. And if I don't take purposeful action to set my mind on Christ and on godly thoughts, then I'm allowing my mind to go anywhere it wants to go. And I know where it will go. It's nowhere good. Because I know myself. That is the key. Nobody knows you better than you. And the only reason you don't know yourself is because you don't want to. Because we're afraid sometimes. Because then it means we've got to change. Then it means we've got to own up. Then it means we've got to do what's in the Bible. And it's hard. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things on this earth. And I always like to stress and say, doesn't mean we can't have fun, doesn't mean we can't. I love video games, I love movies, I love TV shows. I will say I find myself stuck in the 80s with my music and my movies. Something really awesome, I just bought the 1981, 84, and 86 NBA Finals. I found some guy in Europe that had them. Seemed pretty shady to me, but hey, what's $85? But I like to watch older shows and just kind of hang around and the kids swim and I watch those things. I'm not saying we can't have fun. I am saying that we have to set our minds on things above. Romans 8, verse 5. Romans 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on things of the Spirit. And Philippians 4, verse 8 says, Philippians 4, verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. I mean, these are very blatant scriptures that tell us thinking and thoughts are critical. They are very important. And if we don't think about godly things and don't think about the right things, and if instead we think and focus on the things we're worried about or the thing that might happen or the thing that won't happen or this, that, or the other, our lives will not be what God needs them to be. And we will not reach our potential. When we allow God to cultivate thoughts that are in line with Him, we are asking Him to guide our steps. We cannot rely on our own devices. That's exactly what Satan wants us to do. To think we can do this on our own and not involve God. My second point is recognize the source of self-focused thoughts. Another way to say it is recognize the source of selfish thoughts. Not shellfish, even though those are bad. Selfish thoughts. Living a life of self-centeredness is a sin. Our minds become focused on only what we need, on ourselves. And we look to satisfy the desires of our heart. Look at what she said, or he did, or they did, or how it affects me. I'm important. I need this. I do everything right. You do everything wrong. The list goes on and on and on. When our thoughts are focused on ourselves and not on God, our lives become filled with things other than God. We must realize the source of these thoughts. We can go back. I'm not going to read the whole story, but you can make note of Genesis 4, verses 1 through 16, the story of Cain and Abel. Good old Cain and Abel. Cain became enraged when God accepted the offering of his brother. He was overtaken by self-centered, self-focused thoughts and attitudes and ended up committing a horrible sin. Cain's heart, again his mind, was not centered on God, and he didn't care about his brother. He was only focused on how he felt. Given that our behavior begins in our minds, and our mind is where our spiritual transformation should happen, is it any surprise that our adversary, Satan, wants to mess with our thinking? I mean, really. This isn't really like rocket science what I come up with. It's a simple fact that Satan knows, I want to twist your mind up. I want you to focus on all of these things, because as you focus on those, you're not focusing on God. When I wanted to go do whatever it is that I wanted to do, that's what I focused on. Those are the thoughts that I had. It's like a book I read by Jerry Seinfeld about, it's really bad, but it's a Halloween book. He said, as a kid, though, all I was like is, get candy, get candy, get candy. That was all he was thinking about. For me, it's like, have fun, do this, do this. I want to do this. God is over here, and I'm like, I believe in you. You just stay over there for right now. I'm doing this. It must be Satan's favorite thing to attempt and distract and disarm us, is getting into our mind and working on it. Ephesians 2. I'm actually going to use my phone on this one because I think I wanted to read this in the Good News Translation. Ephesians 2 and verse 1, actually. In the past, you were spiritually dead because of your disobedience and sins. At that time, you followed the world's way. You obeyed the ruler of the spiritual power in space, the spirit who now controls the people who disobey God. A person who is spiritually dead has no life by which he can respond to spiritual things, much less live a spiritual life. No amount of love, care, words of affection from God can draw a response to a person who is spiritually dead. A spiritually dead person is alienated from God and therefore alienated from life. They have no capacity to respond. Men are apart from God are basically spiritual zombies. The walking dead who do not know they are dead. This world is full of so many people that have no idea what they're doing or why. They do not have the blessing of what we have, the understanding that we have. They go through the motions of life, but they do not possess it. That is the key. When our thoughts are in the right place, we have the opportunity to not just live life, but to possess life. To own it. To grow and become who God needs us to be. We know Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He broadcasts his evil, rebellious thoughts and attitudes to all the world. That's a scripture. You can read it. He's the prince of the power of the air. Without God's Holy Spirit, we are dead. But even with God's Holy Spirit, if our thoughts are focused on selfish needs and wants, we can't please God. It's just not possible. James 3, verse 16. James 3 and verse 16. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Are we not a confused world? I mean, we have to be in agreement there. I guess we don't have to. You could say, no, things look fine to me. We're doing all right. We are such a confused world, and it's getting worse every day. I will tell you, sometimes I get tired of hearing and seeing all of the negativity. And sometimes I just want it to be all right. I want things to just be okay. But I know that truly that's never going to happen until Christ returns. And I know that, you know, some days are good, but some days are bad. But any day I pick up Fox News, I'm always like, what is going on? It's because confusion and every evil thing are out there. Satan's not going to rest. He has a plan. He's doing everything he can, and he knows his time is short. When we choose to be selfish, when we have selfish, self-focused thoughts, we will continue to be stuck in the cycle of just being frustrated and lost and unable to make spiritual progress and just plain unhappy. If this is you, if this is me, and it's one step forward, two steps back, or three, whatever the case may be, maybe it's time to reassess and look at, where are we at? What are we doing? I do it all the time. When things are negative and negative and negative, I don't say, oh, it's your fault and her fault and his fault and that. I take a look and say, all right, maybe there's something I need to change about me. Maybe there's something I need to let go of. Having selfish thoughts and making selfish choices will result in a lost connection and life with God. We cannot have it both ways. We cannot keep a little bit of our life living to serve our own will, even some of the time, and also live for God. That mindset is called double-mindedness. You can read about it, James 4, verse 8. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Double-minded says, I'll go to church on the Sabbath, and I'll tell people that I believe in God, and I'll do this, and I'll do this, and I'll do this, and then I'll leave, and I'll go party it up, or I'll go sin, or I'll just go back and be whoever it is that I am. That's double-mindedness. And what I stress to people is, we got to make up our minds. I got to make up my mind. I got to decide, am I in this, or am I just kind of going along? Am I going to allow my selfish thoughts to control me, or am I going to give myself up and say, God, just take over and help me grow into who you need me to be. Help me to realize. I've said this before, and I read it somewhere, but it's like, don't ask for all that at once. Because when you start to see all the things that you may need to change about yourself, or when I did, I was like, whoa, I'm not patient, I'm angry, I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this. Like, I'm going to need a lot of work. I have experienced periods in my life where I have self-defeating, self-centered, self-everything thoughts. Most of the time I realize that I am engaged in a spiritual battle of some sort, but I cannot immediately free myself of it. So I pray, and I confess, and I read God's word, and I pray some more, and it doesn't seem like I'm getting what I want, and I just keep struggling. And eventually, with God's help, though, I get through the problem, whatever it is. Because it's not because I thought positively enough or talked myself out of it. That may work temporarily, but it won't root out the problem. That's the whole idea. You know, Norman Vincent Peale and talking about positive thinking and all of that, just being positive doesn't root out the problem. It doesn't change us into who God needs us to be. It's kind of like, you know, just painting over a dent, but not fixing the dent. It's still there. The problem's still there. I know who the enemy is, and I also know the only one who can defeat him. Recognize the enemy and fight him with God's power, with his scripture, with prayer, and with fasting. Third point, it's pretty straightforward. Serve God. Serve God. You want to change the way you think to be more in line with God? Then serve him. Truly serve God and make his desires and wants yours. There's a real difference in serving God and serving. I've worked in so many jobs. I ran my own lawn mowing business when I was a kid. When I say ran it, I mean into the ground. It was not good. I worked at a Dairy Queen for like an hour. I was like, this is not for me. I worked at a Target. It's like, what is going on here? These people are crazy. I worked at Cracker Barrel. I worked at Sam's Club. I worked at a Hampton Inn. I've been around all over the place, and I've done so many things. We all know what it's like to work with somebody who doesn't actually do anything. I worked with this guy, and I was like, I was a supervisor, and I was like, I'm going to give him a chance. He seemed like he needed some help, and he had just moved here. He was young. I was young. I was like 20, but I was a supervisor over the cashiers. I was like, let's hire him. We'll give him a chance. This is how he would ring people up. I was like, man, let's have some excitement. Let's do a good job. I realized he wasn't into serving anybody but himself. And he didn't care about how things worked out. And I always did. I've always had this kind of customer service mindset. I think it's not, there's no thinking. It's because of my dad instilling it into me. I called in sick one time when I was a kid. I was like 16 years old, and I wasn't sick. And man, my dad lit into me. There's people that depend on you. I'm like, I'm 16, and I work at a grocery store. I sack groceries. What, seriously? But it made me, like, it brought it home to me, and that instilled something in me. When we do things, we need to serve others. We need to serve God as if this really means something to us. Matthew 6, verse 24. Matthew 6, verse 24. For the sake of time, just write it down. But we can't serve two masters. And two masters can be anything, but always one has to be God. The other master is whatever you make it. Video games, alcohol, work, whatever. It goes on and on. We cannot serve two masters. It's impossible to be entirely committed to more than one thing. If you try, in time, things will drop off, and one thing will take the lead. God doesn't want to take second seat to anything in our lives. One way I believe we can keep our thoughts on God is by serving him with our whole heart in all that we do every day. I'm not saying go out and, you know, be a Bible beater or anything like that. I am saying we change those around us by the way that we treat them, by the example that we set, by the person that we are. We don't change people around us by telling them what they're doing wrong. I'm telling you this out of personal experience. Now, if you came and sat down with me and put your arm around me and truly noticed something that I was doing wrong or that you thought would help me, whether I agreed or disagreed, I would respect that. But you come at me and you say, you're wrong, you're a bad person, you're this, you're that, I'm judging you, I am not going to listen. I am going to shut down. Because I don't want to hear that. Nobody wants to hear that. The reason that serving is so important is because serving allows us to show people how much we truly care for them, how much we believe they are important. When we serve God, we show him how important he is to us. We show him what he means to us. In the New Testament, we frequently see individuals referred to as servants or bondservants of Christ. A bondservant in this context was a permanent role of committed servitude to Christ. No person or thing came before or rose to a higher level of importance than Christ. Is that us? In our thoughts, when we wake up, when we lie down, in anything we do, are we thinking about God? I'm not saying every time, like when I'm playing Madden football, I'm not like, hey, way to go. And no, I'm just entertaining myself and having some fun. But I am saying that there has to be constant thought. God has to be right there with us in all that we do. Serving God will allow our minds to be converted and completely changed in a way that we think about and see things. We will move away from the thoughts that are focused on selfish worldly things and towards a mindset God wants us to have. We will see things through a different lens. But how do we serve God? It isn't just coming to church every Saturday or doing, you know, the holy days or going to the feast. It's more. It's more than that. I mean, it's nothing new. I'm going to give you two things here. But the more we focus on these things, the more our minds will be converted and our thoughts will change. We serve God through prayer. Jeremiah 33:3. Let's turn there really quick. Jeremiah 33:3. I had several people come up to me after I gave a sermon last time, and they're like, that's one of the best sermons I've heard in a while. And I was, then they were like, I mean, really, it was like short. I was like, oh, okay. 33:3. Call to me and I will answer you. I will tell you wonderful and marvelous things that you know nothing about. I think that's interesting. Only God through the Holy Spirit can fill the void that people have in their lives. We try to fill voids with things that can't be fulfilled. There is nothing that will saturate a desire that is unable to saturate. I know that seems a little bit confusing, but when we try to use things, whether it's alcohol or sex or drugs or social media or partying or whatever it is, to fill a void, it won't happen. I did all the things that I did in my past because I didn't like me. I didn't like who I was. I didn't like the way that I thought about myself. I didn't like the relationship I had with my dad. It was woe is me. It was all these things. And I kept trying to fill it, and it's almost like having a cup with no bottom. I just kept putting it in, and nothing was good. Nothing was ever good enough for me. I tried drinking. I tried going out all the time. I tried this. I tried that. And nothing fixed it. Because I served me. I did not serve God. And I believe that all my problems were everybody else around me, not me. People all over the world are searching for their purpose through self-help materials such as meditation and life coaches and all these books. I love books. I love self-help books. That's not the answer. The answer is God, serving him, having a relationship. We do that by coming before him. We don't just pray for ourselves, we pray for others, we pray for the world, we pray for God's kingdom. You know all the things that are important to ask. But to truly change the way we think, to truly get closer to God and have godly thoughts in all we do, we have to call on God through prayer. We find answers as we seek and pray to God. He is our maker. He is our creator. He knows us inside and out. We can serve God through giving. Giving of ourselves, giving of our time, not just money. Many, many ways to give. Malachi 3, verse 10. I have a minute 47, 46. Malachi 3, verse 10. Write that down. Giving is the evidence of God's love in us. And if we truly understand his everlasting love, we will become generous just like he is. And the third piece to serving is through your role. We all have a role. Young people, old people, parents. We all have a role. Sometimes the meaning in life is finding out what your purpose is. What is your role? And it doesn't matter if you're 75 or 15 or 5. You may not know what that role is yet, but serving and praying and asking God will help reveal it. You can write down Proverbs 26, verse 6. 26, verse 6. We all have something we can do here at church or out in the world that can show the world who and what God is. Encourage and recognize the gifts in others. Get to know those around you. Be observant of their needs. Take our eyes off ourselves and look for ways we can help and serve others. Brethren, our mind and our thoughts can be our greatest ally, but also our worst enemy. Satan wants to saturate you with wrong thoughts. He wants to overwhelm you and cause you to believe that none of this really matters, that what you think about won't really hurt you or affect you. The book of Matthew 7, verse 8, it really sums it up. Yes, everyone who asks will receive. Everyone who searches will find. And everyone who knocks will have the door open. The next time you're struggling, it's time to do a bit of weeding. Not in the garden, but in your mind. Find the thoughts that are harming you. Do this through prayer and through drawing closer to God. And if you learn of the thoughts that are damaging to you, don't simply just allow them to stay there. Pull them out and remove them. This allows you to cultivate your mind, keeping your attitude positive and directed toward God and the life you truly want.